Ezekiel 36, starting from verse 22. And it's a bit like today. It's God gets all the credit. That's the bottom line. Therefore, say to the Israelites, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel.
The second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 22. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him.
Christ is risen. Oh, not bad. Not bad. A traditional start to today's sermon, Easter Sunday. It is a real pleasure to have this chance to share in the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus in his resurrection with you. And welcome. If you're here for the first time today, Or if you're returning after a long break during COVID, it's just a delight to see you. And I hope today is a real blessing to you as we consider the promise of Easter. We have celebrated on Good Friday the saving death of Jesus, and today we turn our thoughts to the power of his resurrection, which brings us the promise of new life. So it is a great day, Easter Sunday. We've been thinking more widely about the peace that we have through Christ, a peace that we feel that we need so much at this time as a world. And we've been thinking together as a church about the ways that God has brought us peace. We have peace knowing that God remains in control of our broken world despite what we see around us. We have peace in Christ knowing that our personal sin has been dealt with and forgiven at his cross. We have peace knowing that the damaged and polluted environment of our world is destined to be renewed through the saving work of Jesus. We have peace knowing that we are enough now, cherished by God, no matter all the different problems in our life, no matter our status, he accepts us through Christ. We have peace with God knowing we have an eternal home beyond this world. And those are just some of the ways that we have and experience peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, as we turn to this letter of 1 Peter chapter 3 to explore what it means to have been given resurrection life through the Spirit, we're going to explore a little bit more about how we have peace with God and the blessing of peace that God has given us and our world through the Lord Jesus and his resurrection. So as we come to God's word this morning, let's pray and ask for God's help that we might hear what he has to say to us about having peace with him. Lord of life, we give you thanks for the gift of life in this world, for the joy of your creation, for the privilege of love and relationship, and for the wonder of knowing you. Speak to our hearts today by your word. Open our hearts and minds by your Spirit so that we may know your peace which transcends all understanding as we consider the gift of new life you've given us through Jesus' resurrection. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, today as we think about this passage, 3 points about being made alive through the Spirit, which of course you might have noticed is what 1 Peter says about Jesus. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. When Jesus went into the tomb, he was very, very dead. On the third day, when he rose physically from death, he had been made alive, not by some sort of magic, but actually by God's Spirit, raised to life by God the Father through the Holy Spirit's work in him. And we're thinking today about how that brings us hope and peace. 3 points. Firstly, that the Spirit who has made Christ alive offers to give us new life. We are to be transformed as people by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we're to be messengers. We are to be prepared to share the reason for our hope. And thirdly, it is by Jesus' resurrection that we have been saved. So those are the things we're reflecting on together this morning. Firstly, being made alive with Christ means being transformed to be more and more like him, more and more his person. A question for you: what difference does following Jesus actually make to life? To put the question a bit differently, does Jesus make any difference to the way that we live? The history of the Christian church is hardly flawless, is it? These are actually important questions because as we look at the history of the church, we see some disturbing truths. In the Middle Ages, the Crusades and Holy War. In the modern era, the pain of the church. Australia has just been through the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse. We have to acknowledge that the history of the church is far from flawless. And globally, many similar commissions have found the church to have failed in its responsibilities to vulnerable people. Now, I know that that's the bad press, and I know that there is good news as well. Good news from the story of the church. But this is the challenge for the modern era of church history. We must demonstrate that Jesus makes a difference to the way that we live. And the news that Peter brings us this morning, as he writes to his friends in these far-flung places, places we've probably never heard of before, Cappadocia, Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia and Asia Minor, all these places are in modern-day Turkey. He writes to Christians there and he says, now listen, living for Christ is to make a difference. He says in chapter 1 of his letter, I'm going to jump around a little bit in 1 Peter today. In 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4, he reminds them this is what it means to have been made alive with Christ, being given a new start. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. Who got a chocolate egg this morning? Who got something chocolate? I got a bunny. It's not bad. But do you see why we might actually give one another eggs on Easter Sunday? It's very intentional, isn't it? That image of an egg is the image of brand new life. The baby chicken. Or crocodile. I mean, they come in eggs too. Let's not forget them. So brand new life is exactly what Peter's talking about here. You have been given new life, new birth into a living hope. I saw a lovely picture last night of a newborn baby, all fresh. It's that lovely baby freshness, an amazing, it's a miracle really, isn't it? But Peter's saying here, this is the miracle of Easter. You have been given new birth. A fresh start by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So I hope you keep thinking about that as you eat your chocolate eggs today. You can eat them with a clear conscience, okay? They remind you of your new birth in Christ. And Peter says, now that you have been given this wonderful new birth, a brand new life, here's how you're to live. Again, from chapter 1, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Following Jesus is to result in a life that is radically transformed and completely different. So, we cannot deny that the church has failed at points in its history. And I guess the challenge today is to realise you can receive this good news of new life through Christ, but you can stray from it once again. None of us are immune. And our world, boy, is it a sad place at the moment. How we pray on a day like today that the world might be transformed by this brand new birth, that men and women might live as people who actually are holy in all that they do, who love and care for one another with compassion. This is what our world needs. Well, Peter goes on in chapter 3, as we've read this morning, to say something that is absolutely remarkable about how this new birth is to change the way that we live. And I think against the backdrop of our sad world, you will hear the enormous challenge in these words. Chapter 3, verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Who does that sound like to you? Well, I can assure you it sounds nothing like me. I was raised on a steady diet of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I enjoyed it, but the problem is, what comes most naturally, therefore, to the heart of Tom Hargreaves? Well, insult for insult, evil for evil, payback. I'm sure you can identify, because our world actually runs on that model of life, doesn't it? Returning evil for evil. And in fact, you might hear people say, that's their way of life. We have a very polite way of justifying returning evil for evil now as a culture. We call it karma. You do evil to me, it comes back to you. Fair. Jesus says, no. I have purchased you at a great price. I have given you a living hope, a new birth. You are to live differently and you are to return blessing for evil. Well, isn't that an enormous comfort and challenge this morning? We're to be more and more like Jesus. Because that's who it sounds like, doesn't it? Jesus, 1 Peter, Peter writes about this earlier in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, when he describes Jesus in this way. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. 1 Peter 2:23. And of course, when we remember Jesus' moment of death on the cross, crying out before those who crucified him, what did he say? But Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Luke 23:34. What remarkable selflessness and love Christ had towards those who killed him. Peter quotes from one of the Psalms, Psalm 34, written by David, king of Israel, about 1,000 years before Jesus, to bring his point home. He says that those who want to receive God's blessing must live like they've been called by Jesus. They need to live out this life that they've been called to live. And he quotes from the Psalm, saying in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. And the psalm reminds us why. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, that's great news if you're among those people that Peter calls righteous, and it's really bad news if you're among the group that Peter calls evil. And there's some comfort and challenge in this for us, isn't there? As we look at our world today and as we really grieve the evil that we see being perpetrated, there is comfort in these words for us from God's word. That evil does not go unnoticed by God. There is a justice. That is a comfort to know. But you see the challenge for us too. Here in these words, we have been shown grace and mercy and kindness from God, and that is how we're to walk as we walk the path of this new life. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're here celebrating Jesus' resurrection. We're people who've heard about this wonderful resurrection life available to us through trusting in the Lord Jesus. For many of us here, we've accepted Jesus as Lord and we've been given this new birth to live out. So a challenge to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, are you walking this way? Are you returning blessing for evil? Tremendously challenging, isn't it? In the little ways, in your family, and even kids, you can relate to this, can't you? Maybe your brother or sister says something unkind. Do you just shoot something unkind back? It's so easy to do, isn't it? And it doesn't get much more easy as an adult either. When someone attacks us, we act in defence. We look to spar back. Jesus says, no, instead, return blessing for evil. So, brothers and sisters, are you living this way? Jesus calls us to in our resurrection life. And if you're not yet following Jesus, then see what a wonderful offer Jesus is making to you, because Christians are people who have acknowledged, gee, we can't live this way in our own strength. We need something to change us, to transform us, and it is the power of God in us by his Spirit. It's only in his strength that we can live this new life. And he holds out that offer to you, an offer to remake you in Christ's likeness. You won't get it right straight away. In fact, you won't get it completely right this side of heaven, but you're being invited into a life being lived in a different way, that every day you keep putting off your old self and putting on this new way of life, your new birth. Well, that is the transformation that Jesus' resurrection offers to us. We're given two other encouragements here. The first is to always be prepared to share this great hope with those who ask, verses 15 to 18. We've been given this great hope. We've heard of the death and resurrection of Jesus. What are we to do about it? Well, Peter says in verse 15, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Notice what we're to be prepared to do. We're to be prepared on any occasion to give an answer for the reason for our hope. That is, very simply, Jesus died to forgive my sin. He rose again to bring me new life, and that's the reason for my hope. Did you see how simple that is? It's not a hard thing to be ready to share. But did you notice who we're to share it with? It's not just anybody who stands still for 2 seconds. It's the person who asks. So I wonder if I say the word evangelist, you might kind of cringe because you think of someone who's quite forceful or maybe even belligerent in kind of trying to force you down a path of thinking or believing. See that the Bible actually encourages us to be people who are prepared but very careful in the way that we share, with gentleness and respect. And my hope is, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, my hope is that you'll actually hear clearly what God is offering you today, but also feel very respected. This is no opportunity to be forced down a path of belief, but to see the genuine offer of life to you from God the Father through Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, as you believe in Jesus, in his saving death and powerful resurrection, are you prepared to share that hope with those who ask? Be ready. It is a great blessing, isn't it, to have this hope to share with a world that is in such pain and lacks peace. We have the words of eternal life and eternal hope to share. So don't underestimate the joy and peace you may communicate in sharing your hope with your friends and neighbours. Well, finally, we see that we're saved through Christ's resurrection. And I think this is a bit of a surprise to hear, because quite often we talk about the fact that we are saved by Christ's... I didn't give you enough notice, did I? You weren't ready for that. I was looking at all the kids thinking they're going to get this. What are we saved by, kids? Christ's death. And that's so true. No doubt about that. Jesus did lay down his life so willingly for us to pay the penalty that our sins deserve. We are saved by Christ's death. But interestingly here, Peter says something that kind of catches us by surprise. We're actually saved through Christ's resurrection. And I'll read to us again quote. I think it's verse 19, where he's talking about being baptized, and he says, listen to how Christ's resurrection saves. He says, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not by the removal of dirt from the body, but by the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a person believes in Jesus, quite often they will be baptised. And how many of you have seen a baptism? How many kids have seen a baptism? Yeah, okay, that's great. So in baptism, we either dunk a person, which is by far my favourite way of doing it, or we sprinkle a person underwater. And that symbol is very intentional because it's a symbol of actually being buried under. So in baptism, we're buried with Christ in his death. And as we raise someone up from the water, we're actually symbolising they are being raised up to a brand new life, this living hope that we've just heard about, this new birth. It's a wonderful image. And it's a way of them saying, I am going to follow Jesus. He is my Lord and Saviour. That's what baptism is all about. And it's an outward symbol of what Jesus does for us. Because the water is a great symbol of being clean, isn't it? I'm not going to ask the question, you know, how many people like having a bath? That's always awkward. But when we have a bath, it deals with the dirt and grime of everyday life and washes us clean. But the symbol here of baptism is actually to say when we trust in Jesus, he washes us clean from our sin. And as we are raised to new life with him, we come up clean and spotless in God's sight. And Peter explains this reality by using an unexpected image, doesn't he? He says, this is a little bit like what happened with Noah and the ark. And I'm sure you're thinking, is it really? I can't see the connection. But it's a little bit like what happened with Noah and the ark because people went into the ark, they took animals in with them, and when all that rain came down and the earth was flooded, what happened to those people? But they were safe and sound and saved. And Peter's simply saying, when you believe in the Lord Jesus and follow him, when you're buried with him and raised to life, it's like you are climbing on board with Jesus. The ark is no longer a wooden boat, but is Christ himself. And as you claim him as your Lord and Saviour, it's like you're climbing on board his boat, which will keep you afloat in the coming flood. Peter goes on to talk about where we get to stand in the coming flood. See, in the past, God judged the world through the flood with Noah, but in the future, Jesus has reminded us and taught us that God is going to judge the world again. And Peter says, well, when you climb on board with Jesus, it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, powers in submission to him. You see, in Jesus' resurrection, he has been raised up, not just to new life, but to life elsewhere. Life on his Father's throne, far above all the difficulties of this world, and far above the danger of God's coming judgment. The wonderful assurance that Peter's talking to us about is when we follow Jesus and we make him our Lord, where Jesus goes, we go. And so when you're raised up with Jesus, you're not just raised up to life in this world, but you're raised up to safety with Jesus in heaven. Now, I know we're all still sitting here in the room, but Paul talks about this spiritual truth in these words in Ephesians 2 verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. You could not get a more safe seat than that. So here is the picture of where trusting in Jesus seats you. You've been given the very best and safest seat in the house with Christ in the heavenly realms, assuring us that when Jesus does return to bring God's good judgment on his earth, a judgment we long for actually, because there is so much evil in our world, you can be certain that you will not face him as judge, but will sit with him as friend, that his death on the cross will have washed you clean and paid for your sin, and that in his resurrection he has given you life. We have been made alive with Christ, just as he was buried and then made alive by the Spirit. He offers us real life, a transformed life, to live as a blessing to other people, not returning evil for evil, but to live for him, sharing the good news, the hope that we have with those who ask, knowing that we are safe with him in his kingdom. So let's give thanks for our life today, for Jesus our Saviour, and pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your loving kindness to us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his saving death and resurrection and ask that you might help us trust him. We ask it in his name. Amen. Before I step down, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to reflect on what we've heard, because in the coming weeks we're going to be running a course called Christianity Explored. It's a really enjoyable course, quite relaxed, and an opportunity to discuss at more length what it is that the Bible teaches us about Jesus, his death and resurrection, and what it means to follow him. And if you're interested in knowing more, you've heard today's talk and you think, I'm actually quite intrigued, I'd like to do more thinking about that, then we'd love to invite you to do this course with us. And in your bulletin today, you'll find this little sheet, which is a card that you can fill out now. And I might just ask everyone to pull out this card. It's much easier if we do it together. You'll find a pencil as well. And if you're interested in doing this course, please take the time just to drop your name and number or email and let me know you're interested in that course. Of course, you might not want to do the course, but it'd be very polite if you just wrote something to me like, Tom, you're a legend. Something like that. Would you? Some people aren't writing that. I'm offended already.